Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Got to get up to get down, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. England are back and in search of glory. Wales face Ireland and Denmark are in disarray. It's coming home. It's coming up.
Take this bloody time.
Yeah.
Is it on a ferry?
Got lost on the way.
Hey, it's on a very much an extended gap year.
It's on a British train.
It's got an interrailing.
Yes, the UEFA Nations League is finally here.
Can you use the full name for it, please?
The UEFA Nations League, which boasts a very simple tournament structure.
No, the real quiz. It's known as the real quiz. I've put together six bullet points to give people a précis of what the UEFA Nations League is and how it works. Are you interested in that? If not, it's fine.
Very much so. Yeah. Let me set you up by saying 55 nations into four leagues, into four mini-leagues, trophies and European Championship qualification are up for grabs, Luke Moore.
Yes, wow. Takes place. So people who are confused by this, allow me to help you. I've watched the official video on the UEFA Nations League website and almost transcribed it to present to everyone listening what it actually means. Takes place every 2 years and replaces every friendly with a competitive game.
Yes.
Evenly matched teams in different leagues based on their coefficient.
I'm glad the coefficient's in there.
Yeah. Each league is divided into four groups with either three or four teams, and the matches take place home and away within those groups. Group winners gain promotion from leagues B, C and D, and those that finish bottom in A, B and C will be relegated. In June 2019, the four League A group winners will contest the Nations League finals, which is two semis, a third place match and a final, and 16 group winners, so four leagues times four groups, 16, group winners who have not already qualified for Euro 2020 will progress to the playoffs to compete for the final four places at the Euros.
Mm. Thank you very much for listening to the previous show. Sponsored by...
Hold your button ready, Marcus.
Yeah.
It's like UEFA have looked at club football and going, how can we compete with this?
Yeah.
What if we do something kind of similar to the Europa League? Maybe that'll appeal.
So I get the whole kind of, it's split into four categories. A, B, C, and D, with the top teams in A, of course,
and then in
that order.
I don't even get that. Them.
You can get, but I love this. England could get relegated.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine after the buzz of the World Cup, the next thing that happens is we get relegated.
Gareth gets fired.
So you have those four, and within each four, you have four
groups.
Yeah. So in League A, I understand that the four group winners then go and contest
the finals. Yeah.
Is that the same in B, C, and D?
No, they get the winner of each group there gets promoted.
Yeah.
And the ones in the league above get relegated. Mm. It's just basically like a club format.
Oh, okay, so if you're in B, C, and D, there's no trophy to get.
No, you got to make your way up to A.
Yeah.
The incentive is you play against teams who are similar to your level with a chance of being promoted higher and higher.
But there's four places for European Championship qualification up for grabs. Yeah.
Yes.
So how does that work?
Well, it works. I've just told you. It works like...
Please repeat yourself.
And that's okay. Number Wang.
Yeah. By the way, UEFA Nations League, don't say, I've just told you, because there's a lot
of... The 16 group winners. Yeah. There's four leagues with four groups in each league. So the 16 group winners.
Yeah.
Okay. They, if they haven't already qualified for Euro 2020, which is their separate qualification, if they haven't already qualified through that, they go into a playoff or a group of playoffs to compete for the final four places at the Euros. So there is something to play for. If you're in League D, you can't win the Nations League,
but you can get promoted
to League C, but you can also win a place in Euro 2020.
Yeah. My favourite feature of how confusing this is that for Group A, once it gets to the Final Four, the group...
No, that's League A.
League A, sorry. there is still a third place playoff.
Yeah, no.
England will lose that to Belgium. Yeah. Or possibly Italy.
I mean, how to make the third place playoff even more redundant and ridiculous
Are you saying it wouldn't be absolutely glorious to finish third in the Nations League?
It would be up there for
me. Marcus and Pete and Jim, I suppose, if England were to win the Nations League...
Went round the houses,
didn't they? Yeah. I sort of went Marcus, but I pointed at Pete.
Yeah. It's very much on point. And I suppose Jim can be thrown in.
Yeah. And Jim, if you want. If England win the Nations League, would it be... worse than, equal to, or better than that famous Le Tournoi victory?
I think it would be better.
Better than that.
That's out of order.
Well, I could change my mind.
A glorious time.
True. I mean, Le Tournoi was more of a world affair because Brazil were in it.
Exactly. In summary, Spain are currently the 4-1 favourites with Bet365 to win the inaugural Nations League in June of next year. Yeah. £10 on that will return £50 should the Spanish emerge victorious.
Well, they've got to emerge victorious against England, which I'm surprised.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Oh, dear.
Gareth's brave boys.
Is there penalties involved at all? Because I'm up for that.
Don't get
Because we can
that.
Win them.
Not? I'm not getting into the weeds of that now.
I think it must be for the semis in the final.
Yeah.
Not for the group stages.
No.
But yes, England come into this one off the back of 14 straight competitive wins at Wembley. Their longest ever winning run at Wembley in terms of competitive
Is it right to say the last time they lost a competitive game at Wembley was over 10 years ago?
It was against Slaven Bilic's Croatia.
So 2007 for the qualification for Euro 2008.
That's right. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Very, very good.
Impressive stuff.
Should be some sort of trophy for that.
Yeah, I read that on Sky Sports. If that's wrong, then blame them.
Normally, you know, the expectation around this sort of thing would be tempered with, well, you know, it doesn't really... England don't do it in tournaments, but last time we had a good one. So,
yes.
I'm still riding on the crest.
But you know what, though? As we all are, Jim, but Gareth Southgate, the man who is the wind beneath all of our wings.
Yes.
He is... I love old Southgate, as we all do, national treasure, etc. But he's well aware that England haven't beaten a top side for a couple of years. Mm. And it's true, you know, if you break it down in the what happened at the World Cup in Russia, England, yes, great victory against old Panama, a battling one against Tunisia.
Colombia,
well, on penalties, but okay, Sweden. But actually, when they faced, the decent sides, really Belgium and Croatia, they came up short. So, again, he's just very, very realistic. And sadly for the players... He's going to give a full debrief of the World Cup, including watching the match back against Croatia.
Just demoralise them.
Well, he did this with the players when he took the job, making them re-watch the Iceland game.
A lot of the players said they hadn't watched it and they wouldn't watch it, didn't they?
About the Croatia one,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's painful. It's so painful. Although Trippier did say, I've watched my free kick a fair few times. But to be fair, that would be a little bit, that's tinged with sadness because still you see the celebration.
The reason they should watch it back is because they're professionals and they should learn what they can do better.
Well, then that's the reason.
Yeah.
Southgate's not going, look at you mugs.
That was rubbish.
Yeah. I mean, I hope after he's played the game, I hope he plays a Spain-Russia game and just goes, look, they probably won't even shoot. So I seem to have forgotten what this is.
On that, and Marcus just touched on it, but just to expand on it, there is a feeling, and I know Stephen Warnock was on the radio this week saying that he wasn't particularly enamoured with the formation England played at the World Cup, and he thought that we weren't really tested and that it was a bit of an inflated finish because of the teams we played against. And I understand all that. Yeah. But what we'll learn from this is actually whether it was a platform rather than a summit. If it was a summit where we go, oh, great, we get a semi-final every 20-odd years and that's what we're ever going to be, then that'll be a shame. If we go into the Spain game and then the... I know the Switzerland games are friendly, isn't it, anyway? Mm-hmm. But if we go into the Spain game and then the subsequent Nations League game and it's a bit after the Lord Mayor show and it's a bit rubbish and it's back to where we started, I think that'll be a real missed opportunity for England. So I'm hoping they can maintain that momentum. And from what I've seen on social media, the players are having a great time at the camp again. And hopefully they can maintain some of that momentum, even though it ultimately ended in defeat.
I think the camp just has such a great feeling. And the World Cup was such a great experience for certainly some of the younger players on the fringe, certainly. So I've gone, I'm part of something a little bigger than myself.
Definitely.
I think players will relish getting back together with the lads.
It's Pete, it's
getting
like what Marcus,
Big Ed by Jimmy Vardy.
Slab
Ed.
He's not there.
So
he can text it.
But
Marcus, you... you were saying it. I think it was you saying that Gareth Southgate said that they could be part of something much bigger than they ever could be with their clubs.
Yes,
if they were to achieve something here.
Southgate said that.
And a lot of these players are young, so I mean, they're still going to be very interested in the Euro 2020 cycle and the 2022 cycle beyond that. So there is a reason to be positive, but they've got to approach this post World Cup thing in what is unquestionably the most inconvenient international break of the year. Even in these four walls, we're all very positive about international football. Mm. It's a tough one, this one, isn't it? Even for us.
Speak for yourself, mate.
Oh, you're loving it.
Love it.
I mean, generally, how are you feeling about the inception of the Nations League, though? Because I'm looking forward to it.
I am.
Simply, I just don't know what it is.
It's about as baffling as Inception.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you seen the flag? The logo.
Yes, right. Great.
It's a gigantic flag that looks, it very much looks like it's got 55 nations flags within it.
Right.
Even that is massive and unwieldy.
Why do they need to make up a flag for it?
Well, it's part of it, isn't it? The boys with their toys, you get an anthem. There's an anthem as well.
Is there an anthem?
Yeah.
Is there a mascot?
Probably. I haven't seen
confusing.
It, but there probably is.
Confusing!
Yeah. That's the Champions League.
I'm up for it. I think that it's interesting, going back to England, about that feel-good factor around the side. I mean, Fabian Delph said it was a massive come-down after returning from the World Cup. Mm. And he described England's camp in Russia like a lad's holiday. I thought, of course it was.
Yeah. But
he spoke about the chemistry and the energy at Manchester City. And anybody who's seen that documentary, All or Nothing, is it called, or something like that? You see the vibe around the camp in Manchester City, what Guardiola has tried to curate there and so on.
Well, you see a very PR version of that.
Yeah, but of course. But it gives an insight somewhat. You can't edit and fake absolutely everything.
What happened? They didn't actually win the league title.
Is that right? But Delph said that the England camp is the same, if not better. And often in the past, I don't want to go over old ground too much because hopefully we're in a new era. That England, we would get frustrated by the lack of cohesion and the lack of idea and the lack of togetherness, maybe.
Oh, for sure.
And you would see it in other nations. In Ireland, for example, or Wales at Euro 2016, great togetherness of these squads and other kind of smaller nations, Iceland as well, who managed to band together and have a cohesion, a solidarity, which can make the sum of your parts go that bit further than what they are. In England, that's what maybe we saw in the World Cup. They weren't hugely tested and so on, but if they get a togetherness, if they get that team spirit and so on, that is an enormous platform to build. And Southgate has been so keen to try and get that back. He did it at the under-21s. I remember I was at St George's Park once when the under-21s met up, to see the players walking through those doors at St George's Park, greeting each other like they were old mates, like it was an old...
reunion or something
like that. That's what he's tried to gather. That's what the national team has been missing out on a lot. And from there you build.
But I think, Marcus, I would expand on that and say that he has to do that. And the reason he has to do that is a complete no... I'm giving him credit for doing it, but it's ultimately a complete no-brainer for the reason that if you look at what you would see as the established England squad, so say if you say the core of the players that did win the World Cup in the summer are the core squad members, beyond that, the depth is very poor. England don't have, I mean, I was on, when I did a show recently, we talked about the amount of players that Gareth Southgate's got to choose from, realistically, and it's something like 42 players in total. So, and even if you take into account the players that you would call as part of the established squad, like Loftus-Cheek, one or two, and Luke Shaw until very recently.
Marcus Bettinelli's been
one or two
that.
Others.
Yeah.
Welbeck, Rashford even. They don't actually play that often.
No.
So England's depth, the team spirit has to be brilliant because they have to do exactly what you've said, which is become more than the sum of their parts because they haven't got a huge amount of talent or to rely upon.
Yeah, but you still need to give credit for that spirit that Southgate's...
I'm giving them all sorts of credit.
Damn
I
wrong.
Am giving them
because
credit.
It's not easy to do that.
No.
You can try it and fail.
Got
you
a
can
lot
do
of egos sorts of in
things.
There and stuff.
Every manager wants... Every manager wants togetherness in the squad. They want squad harmony. Of course they do. But every manager wants to go out win games. Every manager wants to do the right tactics, play
every
players.
Every manager wants squad freshness as well. So.
Squad freshness.
Yeah, it's about time we heard from squad freshness.
Squad freshness.
He's got a long-term plan, though. Clearly, isn't he sending all those double agents out to Germany?
Yes.
To learn over there. Everyone's forgetting about those sleeper agents.
behind enemy lines.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Warming those benches.
But it's a fair point. Because, well, but they're not, though. We look at Jadon Sancho. Was it Leipzig, who were desperate to get Lookman back. I haven't got him as well. But that's why we see, it's exciting to see some of these younger players going abroad because you either go down into the Championship, which is good, but it's not, by definition, it's not a top league, or you go down to League One and you sit on the bench like maybe Loftus-Cheek's going to do, or a country like Germany, where often their best players do go abroad. All of them, but often they do. There's opportunities there. So it's
I was very
see.
Surprised that Loftus-Cheek didn't go somewhere.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually disappointed for him. I hope he features more than we've seen, but I suspect he won't, sadly.
Yeah. One of the players that has been turning heads this season already is Joe Gomez. He was unlucky with injury that ruined his possible chance of going to Russia. I don't know if he would have done or not, but that certainly scuppered it towards the end of last season. But Jordan Henderson's been glowing in his comments about his Liverpool teammate, and he started the season very well, very very well.
I think he's an outstanding player.
Would you think Southgate will go with
him? Hard to say because Gomez was a part of the conversation before he became injured.
Of those
three centre backs. And I think he played. Did he play on the right of them before Walker came in
I
and
think
played
he did,
there?
Yeah,
he's definitely featured.
So that
anyway,
poses a question, doesn't it? If Gomez goes in,
I think he's been fantastic. I think he's been outstanding for the start of the season. And I think because partly to do with Van Dijk, who I think is probably the outstanding centre back in the Premier League at the moment, and him playing alongside him has been hugely beneficial for him. What is he, 21? So he's still a young man, still improving. He's had a decent amount of games, really, for his age in the Premier League.
And you're going to learn under Klopp, aren't you?
Played almost 30, I think he played 30 times last year in all competitions for Liverpool, despite his injury. So, I think he's a real talent. I really do.
Do England pack that right side? Put Walker and Trippier down there?
Yeah.
Why not? Just play two right backs. Yeah. Two wing backs.
Have Beckham in there. Neville. Yeah.
Gavard. Into Miami.
Yeah, I know.
Hey.
Do you want to talk about them?
I've just suddenly brought them up. Yeah. No, well, maybe another time we'll talk about Beckham's.
Plenty of time for that.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
I quite like their badge. Is that an unpopular
So they released something explaining their badge, didn't they? But I haven't read that.
I didn't read it.
Okay, come on.
You're trying to get your head around the UEFA Nations League. You don't need to...
That took me all morning.
Indeed. England, I think they will go for the 3-5-2 or the 3-5-1-1, whatever you want to call it.
Did you hear Warnock's comments about that? Stephen Warnock's comments?
Yes. And he wasn't happy with the way England set up. I disagree because I think England aren't. I think to have two centre backs, England have been a bit short there. If Joe Gomez proves himself to be a phenomenal defender and John Stones carries on the way he's doing, then England could go to a
but
back
Marcus,
four.
Marcus, it was always the conversation about the midfield. Gary Neville would always say you need an extra man there.
Oh yeah, no. I'm not changing the extra man in midfield.
Well, so you're saying playing a 4-2-3-1?
No, but I'm saying that if your two centre halves are Varane and Umtiti, you don't need a back three.
Yeah.
You've got two quality ones there, and the fullbacks can push on as much as they like. England didn't have two quality centre-halves. Who was going to play there? I mean, he brought in Kyle Walker as another centre-back. So that's why Southgate did that. He wanted the midfield three. We're strong at wing-back, and I always think if you've got players that can play wing-back, then you should utilise that. And so that's how the system evolved. If England, as I say, if Joe Gomez and John Stones and one or two others covering can form a partnership and prove themselves to be world beaters at centre-half, he may well in a year or two go to a back four, which releases an extra man to go in the midfield or attack, and you play a 4-3-3 or something. I think that's what Southgate
Ryan Mason said. Ryan Mason was saying before the World Cup, he thinks England should just go 4-4-2 and just be braver.
Yeah, but you hear that a lot, don't you?
It's like people, it's never really worked for us before.
But this is the problem, is it? People look ahead to games and play them on paper in their own minds. It's like, of course, we would love to have a go at teams and just sort of, you know, blitz them with our spirit and our desire. But, you know, when it actually comes to stepping out onto a pitch, it doesn't work like that.
And you've got, you can't have short memories as well.
No.
People, I forget who you mentioned, Luke, beforehand. Was it might have been Warnock as well, saying it, not Neil Warnock, saying that. Well, England, you know, I mean, was it really that good at the World Cup? You know, who they didn't beat anybody great. They didn't this, that and the other. Well, going into the World Cup, England, we were thinking, oh, second round will do, quarterfinal will be wonderful. They overachieved.
Yeah.
And so you've got to remember the context. England are not now, by definition, a semi-final team. You can't suddenly forget all that. Mm. You can't suddenly go, well, I know we got to the semi-final, but, you know, we were never going to win it, blah, 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 blah. Well, we were never going to win it beforehand. So you've got to be careful here. Suddenly, you can't say, well, England, why are they going to play a 3-5-2? Why are they going to be maybe a little bit more conservative defensively when they should go out and blow away teams? But it's still England.
In the opening
we've
stages,
not had a flurry of players come in to change everything massively.
In the opening stages, I think for the first 20, 30 minutes, they were by and large controlling games, and also the defenders were great. And we had some decent personalities in there who didn't mind a bit of a maraude, and they did present something a little bit different. Where we fell down, we just looked a bit knackered by the end of it.
Yeah,
and ran out of ideas to a team
resorted to type.
Yeah, exactly.
England are 17-10 to beat Spain on Saturday night for £10 with Bet365 returns, £27 including stake, should the Three Lions win.
Indeed, yeah. And it's going to be difficult because Spain know how to keep the ball. England are still learning how to do that. Yeah.
I'm going to eat a Chinese and I'm going to watch that. It's going to be wonderful. I'm already looking forward to Saturday.
You're taking the Chinese to Wembley.
Excellent. All right, then. We're looking forward to that one. And so is Spain, no doubt. But we'll be ready.
Yeah.
Let's have some emails with PTD.
I mean, it's not. I didn't put these together. It was work experience more. So thank you, more.
Yeah,
again, I'm giving someone else my work to do.
Yeah, you're absolving yourself of responsibility before the section's even started.
Getting a man who speaks three languages to do my emails.
Just get on with the emails, Peter. For goodness
Hello
sake.
To Rhys Jelly.
Yeah.
Do you want to say sorry?
Is Mo making these up?
Rhys Jelly.
Hello from Rhys Jelly. Hello, have you seen this madness? We're probably going to come on to the fact that Denmark are obviously picking from their futsal team and all this. You know, they're picking some loads of
sides. I love this.
We might superb.
But would Ramble FC represent England? Where would we play?
We'd represent them terribly.
Yeah. But you'd have to say yes to that. Well, yeah.
If somebody said, would you put Pete into the side? Is that what would your answer be?
My answer would be no.
But that's the thing, though. Why are we talking about? If you were, say, a foot,
because Rhys Jelly asked.
All right.
Well, it's almost like with Steve McLaren when he took the England job. He couldn't turn it down.
Yeah.
In his mind, it probably came way too early for him, and he was probably worried about it.
Oh, well, he deserves it now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Give him it now.
Yeah, was it too early, do you think?
I think it might have been.
You're suggesting
in
that
many
in the
ways,
future.
The current QPR job's too early. There we go.
Yeah, I think if you were a lower league player and you thought to yourself, that is like way above my station.
Vardy did it.
Yeah.
Kind of in a roundabout way.
After winning the league, he was a Premier League player.
After winning the league,
but if you were say a National League player, for example,
I think Steve Ball played for England when he was in the third tier, didn't he?
Yeah, that's
true.
Was it not in the second tier?
Yeah, but in those days it wasn't so.
Oh, but quite a few players died in the second tier. I mean, what's his name? Mickey Gray did it.
Of course.
So if you're a National League player, right, you're playing in the fifth or sixth level or whatever it is, and you're needed by your country, you'd absolutely have to. And even if you're a bit worried of making a fool of yourself, just every time the ball came, you'd just lump it up the field. play really good too.
It wasn't that long ago.
Shoot on
sight. Where people were so upset with the England team, it might have been after the Iceland game. They were saying, just pick a team of championship players who actually care and actually work hard.
Yeah, but this whole idea of caring, I mean, the players have always
people were
cared.
Saying that.
I know.
It's nonsense, isn't it? One of the Danish players was a YouTuber.
I mean, that's
a skill.
The first part of that word went, whoa. That could have gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's just a skills YouTuber guy. I love the thought of that. Yeah.
We're going to talk about Denmark in the second half.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
All right. So, Mr. Adhering to the running order, like a real presenter. Email from Ben from Runcorn. Thank you, Ben. All right, guys. Just wondering if any of you guys were equally outraged and impressed by Romelu Lukaku's goal to wear Christmas themed underwear in the Burnley game. This came out a couple of days after we recorded.
I love this.
But he was just basically wearing Christmas pants.
Didn't they say, they said something like snow time on there?
Yeah, it's snow
around
time.
The
it's snow time.
Let it snow. That's it. Let it snow. Yeah.
It was a Lukaku blizzard.
Yeah.
Hey.
We've all been caught short. You know, you've not done any washing for a while, so you've just got seasonal ones left. You know, you've just got your Shrove Tuesday
I think I've spoken about me buying like 20 packs, 20 individual briefs from Amazon. And the branding was location. So you said location on the waistband, but I didn't realize it was repeated around the waistband. So I've basically got location, location, location pants.
Nice.
Official.
Then your other ones that say, wish you were here.
Wish you were here.
I remember living with a guy who used to have socks with the days of the week on them.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
And then after about 2 months, it was just mixed and matched all of them. Yeah.
Crazy.
He'd have one Tuesday, one Friday on like a Saturday.
My goodness.
Jacob McSweeney, you were talking about the notorious Fulham pie thrower. It's not the Fulhamish way, guys.
It's not the Fulhamish way.
It's not the Fulhamish way. Apparently, there's a guy who goes around all of the Football League tasting all of the different pies and rating them.
What a job.
I mean,
is it a job?
He started a blog. he started back in 2013. He's a Fulham fan, so maybe he was the pump. Maybe he was... He hated the pie he was eating and he just chucked it at someone. Mm. But he's tested the offerings at 50 league grounds. He's more than halfway through his goal of visiting all 92.
What's the best so far?
Worst was Carrow Road.
Oh, okay.
Obviously owned by Dealey Smith.
So no, that's very surprising.
I doubt she's knocking up the pies herself.
she wants to be.
She'd have a hand though, wouldn't she? The best pie he tried was Bristol City's Ashton Gate. So
okay.
Enjoy if you're in the Bristol area.
The Portsmouth ones I've always been largely terrible. They do a chicken balti and it's not that good.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I remember many, many moons ago in Scotland they did this and I think Kilmarnock came out on top and Hibs was up there as well. And I had a Hibs pie once. It was pretty good. I don't know what the state of it is now.
If you want to pick up the official Football Ramble book, which I think we spoke before, is now in a Gosport library. If you want to go to Gosport and listen and get that out.
You can get it in other places.
Yeah, well, you can get it on Amazon, I think. But there's a whole section written by me about when I used to work at Leicester City and I used to select the... select the pies from
Pete,
from sight alone.
Hang on, this job you had at Leicester City changes.
Yeah,
what do you mean? One minute you were cutting up pork.
Yeah, but it was a holistic approach to serving food.
He has talked about it before. To be fair, I just say you're the only person in history to plug your own book and then say just get it in the library. Thanks, mate. Yeah, that really helped our bottom line.
Yeah, it's just specific library.
Just
as well.
Rip out my section. That'll save you reading the whole bleeding thing.
A few people have got in touch saying that we didn't give a Fort William update on Monday, which we didn't. And if anyone from Fort William is listening, please let us know the state of your pie.
You did. You said they drew 1-1.
No, that was the week before.
Oh.
The week just gone, they reverted to type, I'm sad to say, and were beaten 11-0.
Again, who is this side that drew with them? How piss poor are they?
Strasbourg, they're quite bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would tempted to say as bad.
Well, yeah, okay.
So there we go. 11-0 was the return to form, sadly. They're playing Keith this weekend.
Yeah. Well, that's it. If you can't beat a team, just play a bloke.
And Keith, have got a player called Keith.
Yeah, of course they
Sometimes he scores and it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to Sky Sports News.
So there we go.
All right then. Any more emails, Peter?
No. When I go quiet, just know I've got none left.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Peter's run out of steam.
Shortthefootballramble.com.
Let's charge him up in the ad break.
In the second half, we're going to talk about Wales. We're going to talk about Denmark and a few other bits and pieces. See you in a moment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
No, I kind of think in today's football, you've got to have legs. You've got to have legs. If you look through all the top teams, they've all got legs.
That's from Mark Hodgson, who spotted that.
The controversial Paul Ince there.
Oh, that reminds me of Bobby Robson. Where else am I going to find a player with a left foot and a head?
You know what he meant.
Yeah.
Down the market.
You've got to have legs, Marcus.
Down the market. Mm. Indeed. Wales versus Ireland in the Nations League tonight.
Hot League dog. B, Group 4.
This is big. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than the UEFA Nations League, does it, Japs?
Wales v Ireland, they played each other in the World Cup qualifiers.
They played each other a lot. And Wales haven't done very well in this fixture. They haven't beaten the Irish in their last 8 meetings. I think you'd have to go back to the early 90s.
And I think after the 2016, the Euros, they had Wales. They would be disappointed to finish behind Ireland in the World Cup group. It was a bit of a...
very disappointed. They would have fancied getting into the playoffs and qualifying.
They lost to them at home, I think. I think they lost them at home 1-0. Ireland went through and played Denmark in the playoff and got battered, didn't they?
Yeah, so these three teams have got in a roundabout way. Yeah. In one of the games, James McLean scored the goal. He appears to have broken his arm in training.
He scored in the game when they beat Wales. In Wales.
He gets crucial goals for Ireland, but he's sadly broken his arm, so he won't be playing. But Ryan Giggs sounded very upbeat and in good spirits ahead of this one. And good news for Wales is that... Gareth Bale is scoring goals again.
Yeah,
he's scoring normal goals for Real Madrid rather than just overhead kicky ones.
Yeah, we're saving them for Wales.
It was great, actually, when Ryan Giggs was inevitably asked about Gareth Bale. He's just trying to find different ways to say the same thing. And he's like, you know, he's a great player. And at one point, I think, and he's a really good bloke as well.
It's
quite nice. It's like, what more do you want me to say? We all know Bale. He's clearly our best player. It's wonderful to have a superstar. He mucks in with the lads. Everybody loves him. He loves playing for Wales. Ask me something.
Unlike his manager, Ryan Giggs.
He turns up for squads.
He's a great lad. I will have his wife.
In this life or the next.
I will romance her.
He isn't related to Giggs, so that may not be the case. Wales play Denmark on Sunday in Denmark. The Danish are in turmoil. Mm.
So we covered the sensible angle of this one on the continent.
Yes, yeah, so we got that out of the way.
A bit boring, wasn't it? Yeah.
Sod that.
Well, they played Slovakia last night, and I'm going to use the word got. They got a 3-0 defeat.
They did. Yeah, it's incredible. As we said earlier, one of them's a YouTuber, one of them's a prison guard. It's fantastic. They got them still at school.
They got the exact same result they would have got had they not turned up for the fixture at all.
Yeah. Which genuinely isn't the worst sort of, you know, humiliation if you kind of think about it.
Yeah, just to give a quick praise, if you have missed this, then all the regular players for the national side are at odds with the Danish FA over a dispute concerning the players' commercial rights. And this is all happening less than 12 months after Denmark women's team boycotted a World Cup qualifier with Sweden after a dispute over their employment conditions. So Denmark have sadly got a bit of form for this, or the Danish FA, should I say.
And the manager has said, I'm not going to manage.
The manager's
presumably... siding with the players.
Yeah, a bit of solidarity with the players, as have all the clubs in the top league, and was it the Super League in Denmark and the one below? So they've not only have they not got their, you know, the Christian Eriksons and all those kind of players to pick from, they don't have their regular the top tier
and who's
domestic players.
And who's broken the picket line?
John Jensen.
Big John Jensen.
Well, Nicholas Bentner has been on the phone.
Nicholas Bentner was on the bench.
Am I still not in the squad?
Bentner was on the bench in Slovakia. Jensen said that this doesn't represent his views, but he was just stepping in because if Denmark don't play the fixture, they get heavily fined.
Absolutely, yeah.
Possibly thrown out of the competition.
Well, that might still happen anyway.
Still could happen.
Yeah. It's an absolutely fascinating story, isn't it? I can't help but just... I would like to see a round of fixtures where every team did that.
Jim, I can't help but feel they're just really confused by the Nations League. do we play or not? Yeah. Are we playing or not?
So it's like Eurovision crossed with a nightmare.
Yeah, is Australia involved?
Is it like the old Olympics where you had to be an amateur? What's going on?
Seems to be that way.
Yeah, well, the goalkeeper was a futsal player.
Lovely.
For Denmark, yeah.
Is he making a really small goal?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, whoa, that's massive. I didn't know it'd be like that.
Just go wide. Oh, no. But yeah, apparently tickets were reduced to €1 because of all this. But Marek,
I mean, that's a bargain for a mental match.
Yeah,
wow.
Really so, yeah.
Like that.
Well, Marek Hamsik said it was difficult to get motivated for the match. Mm. And you would, if you're preparing for the game, Ryan Giggs said this as well. Who are you preparing for? Because you've really got to prepare. Because at the last minute, the likes of Ericsson and co, they could find a deal. I mean, Ericsson wanted the same deal that the players were unhappy with, just to extend by a month. He said, look, okay, the current deal, we'll hand you an olive branch and say, okay, let's just do it. And the Danish football authority said, nah, you're all right.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting bit of brinkmanship, because at the end of the day, the Danish FA will be the one to foot the bill for the actual fine itself, aren't they? Yeah. So.
I mean, they very much are. They very much should be in favour of the teams actually playing games.
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's the position they should be starting from.
I just wonder what's so egregious, because there are some moody FAs around the world. I wonder what weird deal they've put on the table that the players just aren't having.
But a country like Denmark, where everything seems to work, a big sort of established nation, I know it shouldn't happen anywhere, but it's surprising in that country.
In light of all this, do we think Wales will get a draw?
I think Wales have got a big chance here to get a result.
Yeah, but they're playing Republic of Ireland first, and the draw between Wales and Republic of Ireland is currently 11-5 with Bet365. £10 returns, £32, including stake if it ends up that way.
Well, it could be quite a sneaky one for Wales, because if they play Denmark, who are severely under strength, you know, Wales will surely win that game. Then when the Irish come to play them, I don't know when that fixture is, but maybe Denmark might have sorted it out. So Wales could be handed.
I mean, does that not kind of make a mockery of the actual tournament before it's even started?
No, Wales are playing Ireland tonight, mate.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then they play Denmark.
Yeah. So
no means when Ireland played Denmark.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's unfair. It undermines the integrity of the competition.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what we're saying, bro.
Hi, guys. I'm back in the room.
Have you been replaced by an amateur?
Yeah, I've been replaced by...
Have you been replaced by Robert Earnshaw?
I blooming hope not.
Yeah. This is interesting.
Is he the new Neville Southall, Pete?
No, he's taking a different angle.
But he's very much in control of his own Twitter page. He's not giving it to fringe groups.
No.
But he is a former Wales international, like Big Nev, who has caught the attention on social media.
Do you know before this what his claim to fame was? He has scored a hat-trick. He scored a hat-trick in every division and internationally, and he's the only player to do so.
Nice. That's impressive.
That is great. Yeah,
it wasn't last time I read that. It wasn't. Someone might have done it since, but I don't think they have.
Okay, well, he tweeted this week, since we sent robots to Mars before sending humans, isn't it possible that the first extraterrestrials that we encounter on Earth could not be the aliens themselves, but might be their technology instead?
I think it's a very good chance.
I think
it's
an astute point.
Yeah.
I think it's really Asimov.
He's asking questions that I wouldn't even think to ask, and therefore I think he's ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's ahead of the game.
He's certainly ahead. He's got a head on it.
Yeah.
Well, you'd hope so.
What I think is really interesting about this is if you saw that tweet on Twitter attributed to someone that you'd never heard of, and it had like, you know, many, many retweets and likes and whatever, you wouldn't really think much of it. You think, oh, this is what Twitter's for. But because he's a footballer, the state of the replies to some is like, what are you on? Just so sort of unimaginative. I just think, you know, why shouldn't he ask unusual questions?
They should be encouraged.
Laugh at him if you want, but remember, know that if you do that, you are ITV.
Yeah.
You're an ITV sort of person.
Indeed. Okay, well, Jim, he's asking more questions on Twitter, because I had a little look through his Twitter feed and I thought, is this just a one-off? Is he having a laugh?
Mm.
He's got form for asking the deep questions that, as I say, some of us wouldn't even think of asking. Would you rather have a one-minute conversation with your past self or your future self?
Future self.
Obviously.
What's the point of your past self?
Yeah.
Who won the cup final?
Yeah. And I'll have a bit on that.
There's one advantage there.
Lovely back to the future.
The advantage there is gaining an advantage. And if you talk to your past self, you're giving it to them.
Yeah.
Take it for yourself. No,
by the time you'd instantly, if you told them something,
yeah,
become rich, wouldn't you?
Well, the past self would be...
That's a point.
But the past self would be... the past self, we say, you never guess what I did last. Well, I was there. I was there the first time. Exactly. I remember it, so don't worry about it.
But if you told your past self something, I mean, I'd instantly die because I'd fall off a yacht or something. I don't know. But
it's all a bit Bill and Ted, though, this sort of
it's a little bit. Robert.
What if deja vu is just a memory from your past life?
I mean, it's a very
weird one.
Yeah.
Because your past life would have to be the same life, surely, for that to make any sense.
Yeah, it
makes sense that you've... That,
I mean, they're very basic, aren't they?
That
I mean,
question made Pete's face scrunch up and I enjoyed it. All right, well, what about this then, Pete? Respect your elders. They made it through school without Google and Wikipedia.
Again, very basic. The sort of thing that if you'd see on Facebook that where, like, your mum's posted up of a picture of a beach and then...
I made it through school without Google and Wikipedia.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right, sod you, Robert. Sod we're me, moving Robert. On from you.
Respect Robert your Sodgrass. Past and future self.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Snodgrass in a moment. All after right, we go to Northern Ireland, they are playing Bosnia-Herzegovina in the Nations League. This will be the first time these two countries have ever played each other.
Yeah. All right.
I like that kind of thing.
League B, Group 3.
Yeah.
There we go.
Northern Ireland in League B.
Yeah.
Unlike
Well, they narrowly Scotland. Missed out on World Cup qualification, did they? They narrowly missed out on, I think, being a play. Did they beat in the playoffs by Switzerland? Bought a poor decision. 1-0 on aggregate, something like that.
Yeah.
I think from memory.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And of course, they did qualify for Euro 2016 very well indeed. So in the last
few years...
There
was talk of Michael O'Neill being linked with another job and he eventually stayed. And
that's right, yeah. Well, the problem for Northern Ireland at the moment is a few of their players, I mean, they are ageing. They've got a 38-year-old and I think a 39-year-old. Yeah,
that's Gareth McCauley and Aaron Hughes. Yeah. Aaron Hughes doesn't sound like a 39-year-old man. He just sounds like the guy on a stag do that no one knows as well as everyone else. Aaron is not an older person's name.
No. Yeah, this is quite nice. Michael O'Neill, he will pit his wits against former Real Madrid, Barcelona and Portsmouth player Robert Prosinecki.
Yeah. Mm.
Luke always appreciates a mention for Robert Prosinecki.
I think he's undefeated as Bosnia manager as well.
Is he really?
Yeah,
does he still smoke? A lot. Do you do it on the touchline?
I've seen him for a while, Jim.
Have you?
Is
he your favourite Pompey player of all time?
He'd be up there, yeah. Yeah. He'd be up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's he rubbing shoulders with, though?
Who was he rubbing shoulders with?
In your list.
Guy Whittingham.
Guy Whittingham. Paul Walsh. Carnu. Yeah. Carnu, yeah.
Sol
yeah.
Campbell?
Yeah. Yeah.
The wardrobe?
No.
Big Dave?
Benjani?
Dave Jones. What's happening? What is happening?
You
do it to us.
He's very self-indulgent.
Whenever we push back on it, he comes forward. Now we're kind of bombarding him. He doesn't know what to do.
Oh, there's a sly Pompey mention. You don't like it when they're thrown at you.
Yes, they are all Pompey
fans. Are you a secret Southampton fan? Get in with that. Yeah, well, I think this is a good fixture for Northern Ireland, if I may say so, because... And this is what the UEFA Nations League is all about, ladies and gentlemen. This is it. Because they're up against a decent side, but a side that they can beat, or at least cause problems. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, Bosnia-Herzegovina's two big players are Pjanic and Dzeko. Mm. But this is the kind of fixture, and this is why it's been designed, the UEFA Nations League, to play a team who you will be able to have a go at.
Yeah.
But...
Well, it's just a more relevant team. There's far too many international fixtures. Oh, two things. One, they're uncompetitive if they're a friendly. And two, more often than not, if they're a qualifier, they're imbalanced.
Yeah.
So what this does is essentially goes some way towards stopping that. And the reason I say some way towards that is because we don't know if everyone's going to take the Nations League seriously yet. I suspect they might, and I hope they do. And if they do, it solves both the problems.
Mm. I guess one issue from it is that quite often, you know, managers use friendlies to test new players. And when it's sort of getting to the business end of it, you might not want to do that because you might want to go through. So it might limit that a little bit, but a balance needs to be struck within each team.
Yeah, there's a fair point there. But do you not remember years ago when friendlies actually were quite competitive? They were quite actually
people
enjoyable.
Cared.
Yeah, even in the 90s with some England friendlies, I can remember. People didn't make 5-6 substitutions.
There wasn't as many of them.
No, yeah. I remember
there
when old...
as many and there wasn't as much football on TV.
No, but I remember when old Svenigans came in and started making... 5-6 changes.
Here we go, Uncle Albert.
In England games. And people were a bit like, well, that's... People were put off by England friendlies because of that.
It just wasn't competitive.
Well, no, exactly, because when you make tons of changes at half-time or whatever, it sucks the life out of the
game. You should never have made 8 changes at half-time against Brazil in 2002. It really took the wind out of our sails. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. Scotland are playing Belgium. That's a friendly, of course. And Thierry Henry's back in the Belgium camp after turning down the Bordeaux job.
Yeah.
But Martinez will be happy to see him back, and his band of merry men will be in very good spirits after finishing third at the World Cup. I sense a feeling in the Belgium camp that they've got the monkey off their back after they actually turned up in a tournament and they finished third with a medal. They all seem delighted. They were beaten only 1-0 by the team who were world champions. And the scenes when Belgium returned home were very much... almost like they'd won the competition.
Yeah, very much so.
There was real pride in that team.
Would anyone really enjoy a monkey on their back? Because I would.
Depends. You love
the,
a monkey.
It depends on the personality of the monkey, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, and the person.
Well, yeah.
And the size.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You'd take a little cappuccino on your back, wouldn't you? I'd love that. It'd be charming.
For a bit.
Mm. For a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the issue, isn't it? You don't want it to...
They're not
to,
heavy,
to, You
they?
Don't want it to move in.
I feel we need to change the expression, they've got the gorilla off their back.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right. Fair do. Yeah. So they are heavy. They are heavy.
Scotland have had like a football monkey on their back for about 40 years. So, I mean, and now they've got Alex McLeish as their manager, who started off in relatively average fashion.
Big X.
They should have got Walter in.
They should have got
He ordered. Wanted it, Walter.
Well, what do you think about this Alex McLeish quote after being asked about the UEFA Nations League? And he summed up by saying, we love success. We love to win. We haven't been in a big competition for a long time, and the Nations League gives us that opportunity to get the Tartan Army through to see us in a major finals. Come on! Yeah. Big language from McLeish.
I mean, he's won 1 in 4. And he's about to play Belgium.
Well, that's the friendly.
Yeah, Scotland is 7-1 to upset Belgium in this friendly. £10 with Bet365 returns £80, including stake. They've got some all right players, Scotland, but then so have Belgium.
Well, I wonder where the goals will come for Scotland. I mean, they've got Lee Griffiths, Naismith.
The wrong end.
Yeah. Griffiths, Naismith and Snodgrass are their high scorers in that squad. Yeah, but I mean, better for them, you know, if you think defensively with their fullbacks, you know, Tierney, who will probably be pushed to right back because Robertson
captain,
is very much
new
the
captain
left-back.
Andrew Robertson.
Yeah.
Yeah, new captain.
They've got a few players. Their Nations League campaign gets underway on Monday evening against Christian Panucci's Albania side. Israel are the other side in the League C mini
group. It's evenly matched, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's exactly what it's designed to do. So
they're tough sides. Not a lot of goals in those games, you would think. Cagey affairs. Mm. So good luck to all those teams. Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Well, Lewis Sullivan is still in the hot seat,
yes,
and has gone for a pretty out there bet this time around.
So it's a tricky one because when internationals come up again in the bet of the week, you think, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
This isn't as straightforward.
You
as
guys are
going
to like it.
Go on.
His pick for his second best bet with Bet365 is Harry Maguire to score at any time against Spain.
Love that. Love it.
At a colossal 10-1.
That's great.
If the big man, a.k.a. Slabhead, gets on the score sheet, that will return £550, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. I'll repeat, the best bet with Bet365 is Harry Maguire to score at any time against Spain on Saturday night.
Do you know what, right?
Saturday night fever, I'll have.
That's class. So obviously with these bets, you know, you can't just say, oh yeah, Man City to score any time at home against Huddersfield or something like that. That's not in the spirit of things.
No. He's taking it. He's taking it properly.
But normally the big bet, which he's gone in there, is for the hat-trick.
Yeah.
When you're on the hat-trick, you've got to go for the worldie.
Yeah.
Where he's gone early.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
He's going to tap in the next round. Is that what you're saying?
Well, but I don't know. Maybe. Right. Or does he go even more outraged?
All I will say is we've all learned something here because I found a Southampton fan that I actually respect. So there we go.
There it is. All right then. What's Luke been asking the listeners this week, Luke?
Fairly obvious one this week. I asked our Facebook page members, what are you doing to celebrate the first international break of the season? Nikolai Moller said, being Danish, I'm just chuffed there's finally something unusual going on. I don't want to disrespect the lovely people of Slovakia, but a friendly in Tarnovo is rarely enough to get the collective pulse racing. However, the game was still rubbish. Ryan J says, as a West Ham fan, I'm celebrating with a weekend free of misplaced optimism and soul-crushing disappointment. Okay. Oh wait, I'm also an England fan. And I'll finish up with Oliver Memories Bailey.
Yes,
an old favourite. Writing a sequel to The Imitation Game where Alan Turing figures out the rules of the UEFA Nations League.
Love that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we move on to a time that we call Going for Gold.
So, the heat is on. So, the time so. Is it's time for you, what you would have played our game. These people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high.
Lord. Welcome back, everybody.
Is Pete really trying hard to be the best that he can?
Always.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm the Henry Kelly of this
you
podcast.
Are. Yeah. You are. We're going for gold standards. I'm on 3. Marcus is on 1. Jim and Pete both yet to get off the mark. But Jim has only had 1 go at it so far. So
okay.
Don't be too harsh on him, guys.
Well, very well be getting through with a mark here because Sam, worst listener in the world, Blakely.
Not him again.
Harrogate.
Oh, God.
He does all your content.
Well,
he's been on the show about 15 times already this season.
Maybe he just makes great content and I just enjoy his work.
Get him in.
get him on the phone. So you've identified our worst listener and got him to do all your work.
Well, yeah, basically, cheaper than you, Donaldson.
Basically, to keep a bit of momentum going after last week, he says, I decided to write two sets of clues. There is an easy one and a difficult one. This is like choose your own adventure. Which door do you want to go through?
Easy one.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm happy to go through.
All right, I'm throwing out two marks for this one. For the hard one, I'm throwing out two marks.
All right, two. Let's go hard.
Yeah, okay. Two wins.
So you get it, you get two marks.
You get it for two wins.
All right,
let's go for the hard one.
Let's do it.
You go for the hard one?
Yeah.
Oh, for the Jazz to get two?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because Jim could, like, get parity.
No, you couldn't. I'm on three.
Are you on three?
You go ahead of Marcus.
All right, fair dues. All right, difficult.
But Luke could put a lot of distance.
This is going very Nations League.
In the spirit of the Nations League.
I could put a lot of distance, and I shall.
Yes. I was born on the 21st of July, 1981.
Stop. Nigel Martin.
Incorrect.
No way, it's Nigel Martin, 37.
Imagine who he was.
I can't.
Yeah,
okay. Have a go.
Stop. Dominic Matteo.
Incorrect.
Right. Stop. Seth Johnson.
Incorrect. There's no point guessing on the first one, sure.
Well, there is, because Jim's got it before.
Has he?
Oh. Yes.
I have 51 international caps, scoring 4 goals.
Ooh.
I mean, the thing is, I don't know if this is a double bluff and you've said it's hard when it isn't actually that hard.
There'll be one clue, I think, if you've heard it.
Where's the bed, by the way?
Well, people got
we don't want the bed.
I love the bed.
No, I don't like it.
Dead air is a crime.
Jim, you get the casting vote?
Jim, don't do it.
No, I'll prefer not having the bed.
Yes, Jim.
Okay, screw the listening experience.
Yeah.
There you go. Growing up, I wanted to be a bullfighter.
Stop. Whacking.
It is Whacking! Marcus Speller!
Nice. You know what?
Marcus Speller.
He was in the news recently.
He was.
I was
probably where this has come from, let's be honest.
He scored in the derby.
He did score in the derby. Yeah.
I was breastfed until the age of 7.
Oh, yeah. We'd have got that. Do you not remember that?
No.
Oh, I do remember.
That's the only reason I think of Joaquin.
Breastfed until the age of 7. Yeah.
He's apparently really funny as well.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well,
he's known as being a bit of a sort of joker in Spain.
I bet his bones are really strong.
Yeah.
Has he ever had a break or like calcium?
No,
oddly, I thought of Joaquin when it 51 in 4 goals, and I remember thinking, okay. And when you said when it was obviously Spanish, I thought
he played for Chelsea for about 10 minutes, didn't he?
Was he
on there on loan there? Or something
I remember though, in a friendly, England played against Spain in Spain, and he was electric. I think he tore up which England fullback would it have been, maybe even Ashley Cole, who was very good in an England shirt.
He never played for Chelsea. Yeah.
All right, I'll just imagine that.
He's the current record holder for active La Liga players with the most La Liga appearances, 488.
Yeah, he's 37.
Scoring 60 goals.
Mm. Yeah, there we go.
Not bad, is it?
Well done, Marcus. You're up to 3, mate.
Get in there.
Next one will be worth 10.
Took his turn.
Yeah, this is good. You and I are 3 ahead of Jim. We've built up a little...
Needed. Yeah. Much needed.
Yeah, is it before Jim.
I will go on 15-week Baron spells. Trust me.
You might say it's a golden goal situation. Counts for more.
I'm like Patrick Bamford at this show.
Thank you for that, Sam.
Yeah. Well done.
I mean, Sam, thanks very much. Much appreciated. But we do need to encourage Pete to actually do some of his own work. Yeah. So maybe take a bit of a break.
All right, here's a clue from the easy one. You're not getting any points for it, though. My nickname is the Bison.
Stop
Michael Essien.
Michael Essien. So Jim would have won either way, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
so
that's right. Yeah.
Up all y'all.
Well done, Jim. You don't get a point for that.
Though. I know. It's just a little teaser.
Yeah.
A
little show about the ability you have got.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Goals in training don't count.
Yeah.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's been a ruddy pleasure. Let's go away and get some of that UEFA Nations League goodness. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Have a good weekend, guys. Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye now.
It's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.